Okay, and I'll call the Derby WPCA Privatization Committee meeting to order at 6:30. And we'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, roll call, Jim. You're muted, Jim.
Here.
Chris? You're muted, Chris.
Sorry about that. I'm here. Present.
Okay. Maria? Okay. Maria's not here. James?
Here.
Okay. Anita?
Here.
Okay. Charlie? I think he's away. And John?
Here.
Okay. All right, we'll go right. Well, let me explain the order of the meeting and how we ended up with this. I sent out the agenda, one agenda, and then I had to adjust it because there was one proposal that I didn't get. The third interview tonight will be with that company. They did get their submission in time, and somehow it was received at City Hall, but didn't get passed on. Luckily, he contacted me, and we were able to get a revised agenda. So that's why you got two different agendas. And I'll explain, the purpose tonight. We'll be talking to all three of the vendors. Then we'll go into executive session to decide if we are going to make a recommendation. And once we come out of executive session, if there is a recommendation to make, we will do that. And talking to Walt Mayhew at City Hall today, the process will be for this committee to make the recommendation. It will go to the mayor's office to check for funding sources, including talking to the Valley Council of Governments. And then it will go to the Board of Aldermen as the next step. So that's the process. Okay, and with that, I'll open up the public portion. Anyone from the public wish to speak?
Hey, Jack, it's Adam Simonson from Aquarian.
How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. For the record, Adam Simonson from Aquarian Water Company. My address, work address is 835 Main Street, Bridgeport, Connecticut. Just wanted to say to the committee, we're glad to see the process moving along here. Look forward to seeing the city hire an appraiser, and we remain ready to answer any questions that any of the interested parties have regarding our proposal or the transaction.
Appreciate that, Adam. We're all anxious to get this moving. As I noted the other day, we first met last September, so it's time to get the work done. So thank you. Anyone else from the public wish to speak?
Tom Linetti, 79 Sunset Drive. Jack, I don't know what's going on. So after we hear the interviews from these companies or whatever, and you come out of executive session, can we ask questions then? Because
you have to ask them now, Tom, during the public portion.
Well, I don't know.
Go ahead, ask.
All right, I don't know what to ask. So, I don't know what's going on. If they want to privatize this, does that mean they want to sell this to an outside consumer?
This meeting is not about that. This meeting is to get the appraisal so we know what it's worth. Okay, any decision about privatization or anything else is down the road. This meeting tonight is just to see if we can get someone to give us an appraisal. So, it's a matter of due diligence tonight.
All right. Thanks for clearing that up.
Okay. All right. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? A second time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Third time, anyone from the public wish to speak? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to close the public portion of the meeting.
A motion to close the public portion of the meeting.
I'll second.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, the public portion is closed. And we'll move on Our first discussion will be with MRV Consulting. And I see Mark, you're on. Mark, you want to make any comments before we have any questions? You're muted. Gonna find that button. There you go.
Oh, there it is. There it is. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, perfectly.
Perfect. Okay. Okay. Perfect. So, I have you know, I've went through the process of reviewing the RFP, and I've prepared a formal bid, you know, in response to the RFP. I had one or two comments that I think I made in the bidding process about the income approach not being able to break it apart between the different types of assets. But other than that, I think it's pretty clear in my revised RFP that response to the RFP that you know how I laid out the bid. But I'll be ready to respond to any questions that you guys have.
Okay, I'm going to open it up for any of the committee members to ask questions. Again, you know, we've had the benefit of talking to Mark before, and you know, he's got a very thorough presentation, a very thorough proposal. So. Questions?
Jack, I said John Sack, I don't have as many questions as I think questions that came up about the three-tiered approach to you know, the evaluation, and that you know that they all have to be considered used, and how is that kind of play into the price of all of this. And I think that what we came away with is that, hey, look, this is the most comprehensive approach to this. So we come up with the best possible, the most effective possible evaluation of our assets. And I just, you know, I think that's a comment as I've understood it, and maybe a question to say, hey, am I understanding that correctly?
Mark?
John, I can respond if you want, if I can.
Yes, yeah, that's what this is.
Okay, sure. Okay, so in valuation or appraisal, there are three approaches to value. There's the cost approach, the income approach, and the market approach. And all three of those approaches, theoretically, should converge on one value, okay? And they bring each other in line. One approach bringing the next one into approach in line, and then they converge on a value. So, in a system like this, you know, you definitely would consider an income approach to value, because you want to take a look at what are the cash flows associated with the system. You want to understand what are all the revenues and expenses, and come up with your value using those cash flows. And that'll give you a very good indicator of value from that approach. And the second approach that you want to look at is the cost approach. And the cost approach is going to tell you what assets are worth in relation to the other. So that's the one that's going to allow you to break apart and show what value is on the collection system versus what's on the wastewater treatment plant versus the pump station. So you know, all of that you can see with the cost approach to value, and cost and the income together are going to give you a really good picture of what the system is worth. The market approach on these types is merely a check that, you know, will be in, it is in line with what the market is selling out there. In our bids, we don't plan to spend a lot of time on the market approach. We want to show that there are comps out there, there are comparable sales, and that these sales are you know, representing of the marketplace, and that's in line with the values that we come up with the income and the cost approach. And there is market data out there for these systems, and that information, you know, we want to get and include in the analysis, just to show that, you know, we did a full approach or appraisal straight across the board. You don't want a limited type of appraisal where it says we only looked at, you know, certain approaches or certain aspects of it. When you have an appraisal, it may have restrictions on it. You don't want any restrictions or any hypothetical conditions or extraordinary assumptions. You want the appraisal to be straight up, where there's no caveats to it that, it's not fair market value. You truly want to get an approach that hits on fair market value.
So, yeah, I thank you, Mark. I appreciate that. So it really seems like the income approach is an approach that really is super important for the seller, City of Derby, and the buyers. The buyers because of future profits, and of course, the City of Derby concerning, well, what are other potential income streams for the city? And so I think that that income approach seems to be a really, really important one. Am I on target with that?
Well, it yes and no. The way it sits now, your income approach is probably not going to be a good representation of the value, because you really need one or two jumps to rate increases to get it to its balanced. Right now, it's not. If it were balanced, then you would have a system that was operating and that you weren't barely running from time to time or cycle to cycle. One of the things that the acquirer is going to come in is they're going to put capital expenditures into the facility, and those capital expenditures that they need to put into the facility are then going to be recalculated into the first rate increase, and that's where they're going to start to take a look at and get it to its balance. If you use the rates now to see what it's going to be worth in the future, you're not going to get a fair representation. The income approach, let me back up here a second. The income approach looks at what the value is going forward.
Right,
so you stand on the valuation date and you look forward. So it has to consider some of the capital expenditures in the future to get the right revenue. The cost approach stands on the valuation date and looks backwards at what's there at the time.
Of course.
So the income approach has to.
Yeah. Yeah. The income approach, of course, has to consider the capital expenditures going forward. And that's all calculated in that. Ultimately, it really boils down to the income approach moving forward.
For the forward look.
Yes.
Remember, as of the valuation date, you pick a valuation date, which, maybe December 1st or the end of the year for you or whatever the valuation date we pick. We stand on a date, look backwards, we catch everything for the cost approach. And then forward for the income approach, we have to consider, what are the future projections and the revenues that are going to come. And obviously it has to include some CapEx to, complete the projects here that need to be completed to take this to get this up and running, so it's a system that is self-sufficient, at least cleaning it up and getting it so it runs. I know you did a lot of work on the pump houses a couple years ago. That just needs to now go through the wastewater treatment plant on some of the other projects that didn't get done yet.
Mark, I have a little bit different question, but does your approach differ whether you're dealing with a government, as in our case, or a nonprofit or a for-profit? Is there any difference in the way you do this?
Yes, there is. Great question, John. That is a great question. And that really, drives the value significantly one way or another, because, you have, if you look at this from either a GOU standpoint or an IOU standpoint. So if you look at it as government-owned utility versus investor-owned utility, there are differences in there. And it could sway the value of the system. It could be significant sway, 20, 30, 40% one way or another, depending on, how you look at the scenarios of a GOU versus an IOU. In some of these, or in a lot of these transactions like this, we'll blend it. We'll assume that the buyer is 50% GOU and the buyer is 50% IOU, and we blend the discount rate. So we reflect that value for the GOU in our analysis. But that's something that we could talk about. How do we want to approach it? How do we want it? And we could do that 25% GOU, 75%. We have the ability to fluctuate that in our income models to reflect the buyer. If you want to do 100% GOU buyer, we could do that, or 100% IOU buyer. It's something that that is very important, and it will fluctuate the value significantly.
Okay, I appreciate that, because I was wondering about the different models that are out there. You know, we're government owned. We have a proposal privately owned, but there's another, you know, a couple of utilities in, around the state that are a combination of both. So
yeah, if you can, if you put this out to bid, let's say you go out to bid, you know, on the system, and you have all private or investor owned utilities, then they're going to all bid at one certain level. If you have one GOU in there, all the IOUs have to step up their game in order to meet that level and get to the next tier. Or the GOU has to bid low enough, they lower their bid enough to come down to that level. And then you kind of see where the mix is somewhere in between there. It's interesting to see how these things play out when you do have a group of GOUs and IOUs in there.
Which is getting more common, I guess. You know, the trend seems to be more of a mix of different types of ownership. So,
we're seeing a third type of buyer coming into play as well, which is private equity buyer.
Right.
So, where the private equity would come in, buy it, and then they would hire an O&M company to operate and maintain it. So that would be a third player that you might see coming in here. And some of the water companies that you see now out there really are owned, you know, they're owned 100% by private equity. So in essence, you know, you're getting that, you know, with some of the companies that you're looking at, that are some of the players in the marketplace, when you actually trace them back to see who owns them.
Right. Okay. Other questions? I think, Mark, you've been on the hot seat before, so I think we've already asked you quite a few questions. So.
Yeah. No, I enjoy this. So, I'm looking forward to this. Hopefully, you know, we can work together on this thing and do this project. But I know you guys have another interview or something later on today. But, you know, any questions you have of me, I'm trying to help you guys as much as we can. I submitted my revised proposal into you. Any other questions on that, Jack, or anything? I think I laid everything out the way that I did it. The only thing, as I mentioned before, the income approach, you cannot break it apart for the collection system versus the wastewater treatment plant using the income approach, because you don't collect bills for the collection system versus the wastewater. It would just be an allocation if you were doing that. So F and G in your bidding process, I put G, I put no bid, and the income approach is all in F, okay?
Okay. All right, any other questions for Mark? All right, Mark, again, and I thank you again. You heard me lay out the process, which may or not play out quite that way tonight, but I'm sure we'll be in touch one way or the other. So I do appreciate your time. So thank you.
Okay, so do I drop off, or can I sit through the other guy's interview, or am I not welcome for that?
That's up to you. It's a public meeting, okay? We're fully transparent until we go into executive session. So that's your choice.
If I could, I'd like to sit through.
You won't be able to comment or ask questions.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll be quiet. You know, I'll be sitting here. Yeah, I'm sure you turn my mic off, right?
I will eventually, but I'm sure you'll do it yourself. I don't have to do it, but
Yeah. I'll start throwing tomatoes at the screen or something, then you cut me off. Huh? No, I'll be good. I just got to watch. I'll sit as a fly on the wall, if you don't mind, okay?
All right.
Thank you, guys.
Okay, and we finished that part actually a little bit earlier. And our next up is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but Rafelis. And I see John, you're on. So, John, do you want to introduce yourself and make any comments before we take any questions?
Sure. Yeah. Hi, I'm John Mastracchio with Rafelis. Happy to be here tonight. I do have, Jack, I have just a short couple of slides just to kind of introduce our firm.
Yeah. Yep.
And myself. So if you don't mind, I can go ahead and share my screen and do that.
Give me a second here. Okay, you should be able to share.
Okay. Let me give that a shot here.
Yep, it's coming on.
See that?
Yep, go ahead.
All right, great. Thank you. So yeah, just to start off, I just wanted to recognize I fully understand the goal to get the valuation done. And I know you're looking to move fairly quickly on this transaction. I believe you have at least one interested party, an investor-owned utility that you've been talking to. And so in terms of requirements, we know that you want the appraiser to work collaboratively with you. And we've done that a number of times with other municipalities, other WPCAs. We're positioned to provide the valuation services expeditiously. I know you want to move forward with this quickly and get the valuation done in an efficient way. And I'll talk a little bit about Raftellus and why we think we can do that for you.
Okay.
Raftellus is a specialized firm. We focus on local governments, water, wastewater utilities. Our areas of expertise are shown on the screen here. Under financial services, we do appraisal work. We do financial work for municipalities and utilities in terms of pricing and financial planning. And then we also provide a whole host of other related services, as you see here. We have more than 130 consultants across the country that do this type of work. And we've worked with about 1,200 public agencies and utilities across the country. Specifically in Connecticut, we've worked with more than 20 municipalities and water pollution control authorities across Connecticut. We've done some valuation work for Hartford MDC and for Stamford and other financial work for the other municipalities shown here, including the Regional Water Authority. I think you city partners with RWA. And we work with RWA over the past 6 years, have helped them with financial work, including pricing of their services, cost of service, rate filings, and have been involved in public meetings and board meetings with them. And so if you know Larry Bingham or Rochelle over there, they'd definitely be a good reference for Raftellus.
Okay.
And then this is me. I'll be the lead appraiser on this project if we were selected. Again, I specialize in water and wastewater valuations. I've done more than 60 of them over the last 5 to 8 years, I'd say. I have 27 years of experience specifically in the water and wastewater industry. I'm an active member of the Water Environment Federation, the American Water Works Association. I'm an accredited appraiser. And I'm also a professional engineer. I started my career as a water wastewater engineer. So I really know the business very well. But I'll be supported by a number of my staff that work with me on these appraisal assignments. And so in terms of steps for completion of the appraisal, we usually start off with a project initiation meeting, talk about the system, talk about what data and information needs there would be. We conduct a site visit, go through and do a system inspection. As an engineer, I can do the system inspection and the condition assessment, but we'll take any additional engineering reports or other documents that you may have already pulled together that documents the condition of the system. We'll look at the WPCA's financial results. We'll analyze the utility market, complete the three, or at least consider completing the three approaches, the income, market, and cost approaches as appropriate, and then prepare a report and give a presentation. So in terms of timing of all this, We usually can complete this type of appraisal in maybe about 6 weeks. Sometimes a little quicker, sometimes takes a little bit longer, but and that really depends on availability of data and information and access to that. So, but that's kind of what we'd be looking at, somewhere along all around that time frame of about a 6 week engagement. Just gonna quickly wrap up, and we can get into the discussion. What I think sets focus on water and wastewater utilities. We know water and wastewater utilities inside and out. We have significant experience in Connecticut and working with other water pollution control authorities and municipalities. We have a depth of resources. I can rely on over 100 staff and different expertise as needed, including other engineers, other finance folks, other appraisers at Reftelis. And we are accredited, we're accredited appraisers. And so those are the reasons why I think Reftelis is very well suited for the work with you. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and you can maybe direct that, Jack.
Yeah, I'll try. let's see. Well, let me start by asking some questions while I try and get my screen straightened out. I've got a new computer and it's a real problem. I think I'm back now, but let me get back to the agenda. Okay, is the agenda back up?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Hi, I have a question to start, John. How much work is involved for, you know, our own staff, both in terms of our finance department and our staff at the plant? How much of a burden is it on them to provide all the data? I am a little concerned about our ability to do that.
Yeah, in terms of finance staff, I think most of the data that we'll need on the financial side is readily available. So, typically is anyway. So that includes annual financial reports, information around about customers, budgets and things like that. So not tremendously a big lift on that side. On the technical side, for your plant folks, we'd certainly would like to spend at least a half a day with your plant folks and your pump station and operation and maintenance people to walk through the system, really kind of get a feel for the condition and operating condition of it. So there's a little bit of time there, but in terms of documentation and data and information, again, I think most of that is going to be readily available. So, operating reports, other engineering reports, if you have them available, we'll take them. Reports that you submit to regulators, those are things that we would look at. Certainly, if you have records on your fixed assets, dates, place, and service, types of material, things like that, repair history, those types of things. But what we have found is most of that data is pretty readily available, and we'll work with whatever information you do have available. Obviously, more detailed information, the better. But we can work with what you have.
Okay. Again, I have some concern. We don't have a very big staff. And, we're going through some transitions at City Hall at the moment as well. So, John, you have a question?
Yeah, I have a comment, question. I'm not sure how it is, but, it would seem to me that with all of the history we have with Weston and Sampson, that we have to have enough information or quite a lot of information for John and his organization to be able to hitchhike on and to help him with what he needs.
Yeah, we actually partner with Weston and Sampson quite a bit. We know the folks over there, and have worked with them on some other projects. So that we're very familiar with working with them and other engineers to if we have questions about the system or any projects that were done in the recent past, we're more than willing to just reach out directly to them and ask them questions.
All right, well, at least that will be beneficial. But my other question is, John, is the approach that you take to this. So we've been talking for quite a long time about the three approaches: income, market, and cost approach. What are the approaches that you take to evaluate the valuation of our assets?
Well, we will look at all three approaches. Certainly we want to assess the suitability of those approaches in every valuation project that we do. In terms of my experience with valuing wastewater systems in jurisdictions where there's nothing unique about the regulatory environment in that state, which I would say Connecticut is a pretty typical state in terms of economic regulation. We will focus fairly heavily on the cost approach. Typically, we'll also look at market transactions and try to find some comparable sales that are similar in terms of regulatory environment, regional location, size, age, those types of things. And if we can find a good set of similar transactions, we'll look at that as well. And then the income approach, certainly we will look at that. I think we will look at the income approach from the buyer's perspective, and typically we do a discounted cash flow approach, which is we'll look at a forecast which would include any capital needs that are necessary in the system, forecast the projected benefit stream. So that would be the potential earnings that a potential buyer would receive from owning the system, and look at the value that way, discount it, and use a discount rate to value the system. So we will look at that. That discount or that income approach can be a little bit tricky depending upon the constraints that different potential buyers may have to deal with. So when you look at investor-owned utilities, they're regulated by PURA, P-U-R-A, they have certain requirements that they will need to meet in order to be able to pass on their acquisition price into their rates post acquisition.
Yeah, and so the capital approach largely is what we're talking about is concerning our plant itself, because our pump stations are all brand new. Yep. So I mean, and largely even that's been done. So I mean, we have a lot of that information.
Good. That's great.
Anyone else questions? Tell me a little bit more about who will actually be working on this project.
And sure. Yeah. So I'm going to be the lead. I would be the lead analyst. So I will likely be the one that comes and does the site inspection and the asset inspection. I have another economist and appraiser. He's a CVA, which is a certified valuation analyst. And his name is Steve McDonald. So Stephen will be working with me on this. And then we have an office in Natick, Massachusetts, and I have four analysts there. And then I'm out of Albany, and I have four analysts here. So I would pick you know, the right staff to help with the financial analysis, either from our Natick office or our Albany office.
Okay. Anyone else have questions?
Yeah. Jack, I had one question, if that's yep. okay with you.
Yes, it is.
Hi, everyone. Dennis Coquinas. I'm one of the city attorneys. I'll be handling this transaction. I'll be working closely with whomever the board selects. One question I had with looking at the response was, there's a lot of references in your experience to, operation valuations versus asset valuations. If you wouldn't mind kind of just explaining the difference between the two and, again, if you could kind of go over some of your specific experience in valuing WPCA assets rather than just the valuation of the operations of a certain system.
Yeah, I think almost all of my appraisal work is valuing the entire system. So for many of the work, many of the appraisals we do, it's you're valuing the business enterprise. So it's the entire system, including any contracts, including the customer base. It's the whole thing. In some cases, I've been asked to specifically value one component of the system. For example, in the city of Glens Falls, which is up in New York, I was asked to just value the wastewater treatment plant, not the collection system, not any other assets that were associated with the WPCA equivalent there. So they were looking to do that for the sale of a certain amount of capacity within their wastewater plant. And so they weren't selling the whole thing. They were selling a right for reservation of a certain portion of the capacity at the plant. And so I think maybe what you saw in the proposal were some examples of where it wasn't a full enterprise appraisal. It was a specific component of the utility system, and we were valuing that component.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Any other questions? John, is your hand up again, or is that just still there? You're muted.
I got a quick question.
Okay.
John, I want to make sure I'm just looking at your RFP. Sorry, I'm on another's meeting. I don't know if I'm reading your RFP correctly, but you have not done any appraisal like what we're asking for any other sewer divisions in Connecticut, correct?
No, that's not correct. I have done some work for the Hartford MDC, which is right okay. Right up Hartford. I didn't list those because the actual details associated with the appraisal work that I've done for MDC is confidential. So I can't tell you much more about that, but I certainly have done evaluation work in Connecticut. A while back, I did some work for Stamford, Connecticut as well. That one's more than 10 years old, so I didn't put it in the class.
Thank you.
Yep.
Other questions? Chris, you have a question? You're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was muted. Let's say that after this appraisal, we came to you and asked you what would you think about us expanding in and taking other towns in? Would you be able to give us a detailed explanation of what we would need to do to our plant and how to expand it a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, we do have lots of expertise at Raftellus, including looking at various regionalization approaches, sharing of services, consolidation of services, and we cover all aspects of that. So we'll cover the technical aspect, the financial aspect. We do a lot of stakeholder outreach, and we can deal with the stakeholder involvement associated with those types of things. And so yes, we can look at planning aspect of that. I would say that there's a limit in terms of how in depth we would go in terms of an engineering evaluation in terms of what needs to be done to get the flow to the plant or to ensure that the plant can accommodate the flows. That gets into the realm of like what Weston and Sampson would probably do. But we have worked with, like I said, the team of engineers and us as financial and management planners. We certainly can do that.
Thank you.
This committee hasn't done that, but we've just come through that. Right. So, John, is that what you're going to say?
I can't imagine that would be part of this proposal. That's number one. Number two, we already spent $1 million on this with the VCOG
thing. No, I said if they were our contractor after that, if we had questions for them.
Oh, later on, yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? All right, John, again, I want to thank you for coming on. And again, as I explained at the beginning, we hope to come out with a recommendation tonight. I'm not sure that will happen, but either way, we will be in touch and we'll get back to you. So,
okay, thank you. Very good. Well, thank you very much for having me tonight. Look forward to hearing back from you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
We're just about on schedule. And our last one, I think I saw Dylan on here. Oh, there you are. And Dylan, again, I have to apologize to you. I've been tracking it back to see what happened. As I mentioned briefly at the beginning, we had two proposals when I sent out the agenda on Thursday or Friday, and actually we had three. And luckily, Dennis, or Dylan, I don't know how you found it, but you got my email address, and he emailed me his proposal along with the FedEx receipt, because he had submitted his proposal on time on the 19th, and somehow it never got to me. It was signed off by someone at City Hall, but it's probably sitting in a tray someplace there. But we did get it in time, so do appreciate it, and the fact that you were able to come on with such short notice. So with that, I'll leave you to make some opening remarks if you'd like.
Sure. Good evening, everybody. My name is Dylan DeAscendis. I thank you for your consideration, even though I guess the application process was kind of messed up, but I'm glad we all were able to meet and be able to talk about this thing. I did not provide a presentation for you guys, but I'll give you a summary of my expertise and my experience. I am a partner at Scott Madden, Inc. We're a global consulting firm that we deal with energy and corporate ancillary services. I'm one of the partners in the rates and regulatory division. In that division, we do a lot of rate work for municipal and privately owned utility companies, including valuations. I am a certified valuation analyst, the CVA, just like John's. I think I worked with Mr. McDonald from Raftellis on a couple of appraisals. I have represented sellers and buyers, so including the two biggest sewer transactions in the country so far, Delcora out of Delaware County, Pennsylvania, and York Sewer, the city of York, in York, Pennsylvania. I have probably submitted about 50 or so valuation reports for water companies, sewer companies, gas pipeline companies, electric utilities, and the like. I'm based in New Jersey and Cherry Hill near Philadelphia. The majority of my team is in Westborough, Massachusetts. My main backup, he is also in Westborough, Massachusetts. His name is Matt Howard. He's been doing this for about 5 years now. So we have a little mixture of new and old, good ideas. As far as the process, it all starts with data gathering and verifying some of the data, then coming for a site visit and interviewing the engineers that you may have on staff, your staff people, for information mostly about asset listings and useful lives and income statement data and consumption data and customer data, things like that. From there, we will generate our report and then we will submit that and give that to you guys as a draft to make sure that we're hitting everything. If you guys have any editorial changes, anything like that, we'll send it to you. We'll get it back, then we'll finalize the report. As far as postscripts, we have testified, I have testified in a dozen cases having to do with valuations. It depends. Superior Court of Rhode Island, American arbitration panels, state regulatory commissions. Every single one of them I've won. I guess that's about it. So we're highly specialized. We are expert witnesses. We are experts in valuation. We're also experts in regulation. So that's my expertise and experience, and look forward to your questions.
Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Just a question. So you say you as an expert witness on these cases that, of all of them which you won. On what basis were those victories, so to speak, based on? What importance of the valuation were you successful?
So usually you'll have, and it depends on what type of interveners you have. So for the one case in Erie, Pennsylvania, the valuation was about the prudency of rates based on a lease payment, right? So they said that the lease was too high to justify the rates. My valuation showed that the valuation and hence the lease payment were prudent, right? So usually there, and then in Pennsylvania for some of these fair value Act 12 fair value proceedings, you'll see intervener witnesses or consumer advocate witnesses that try to needle at some of your assumptions and try and knock the value down in order to say save customer rates. And most of the time those recommendations and assumptions are faulty, and we have to go through and rebut all of their assumptions and underlying theory behind that stuff. For the Superior Court case, it was about an estate that didn't sell out, and this is Block Island Utility Company. The one person didn't sell out, and they wanted a different deal, and I defended them against, I don't know if it was Raftellis, but I don't remember who it was, but no, it wasn't Raftellis. It was Saxony or Sanssouci, George Sanssouci. But we had different assumptions, and I was able to convince the judge that my assumptions were better. So those are the reasons and expert witness testimony and how things would work out on those things. But I know that that may not be the case here, where, you know, we're coming up with a value and then you guys are going to take or leave a bid given what me or another person comes up with.
John, you following up or no? Okay. I have a little bit different question. Just an overall, how do you see these types of things playing out across the country?
Well, it depends on where you are in the country, because it, there's a lot of things where I think there's over a dozen states that have fair value legislation where the investor-owned utility get to pull in rate base the market value of the utility into rate base. So Connecticut is not one of those states. It usually is easier for, say, an IOU to give fair market value to a municipality in those type of states because they can pass all of the goodwill off to their customers in terms of rates. And I remember talking on behalf of the utilities to try and in Connecticut for fair value, but it didn't gain any traction. I think Batowski kind of shot it down and it happens, but you know, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I helped write Ohio's fair value legislation, but it's one of those things where it depends on where you are. The good thing about Connecticut is that it is historically been that if a utility, an investor-owned utility, and obviously we could go into combinations for other municipalities or authorities and things like that, but as far as IOUs are concerned, the Public Utility Commission has made it a point to give ROE incentives for acquiring systems and helping to regionalize the water systems in the state. So that's a good thing about Connecticut. Now it's if there's a spectrum, right, and full getting your full rate base as market value is the best case scenario, and getting cost less depreciation is the worst. Connecticut's somewhere in like the 75th percentile when it comes to that. So you're in a half decent environment to get competition, a competitive bid from both IOUs and municipalities. So that's a good thing for you, but there are places that are better, but as far as countrywide, I think you guys are in a pretty good shape.
Okay. How about the timing of this? I think you said 60 days.
It's more like it depends on the data. I think John put it pretty well. If you guys have audited financials, I looked like I could get 2018 off the website, 19 and 20. The link wasn't working. But I mean, from what you have,
yeah,
they have to be there. They have to be there, right?
Yeah. So, well, in the case of Derby, maybe not.
Well, I mean, I've been to places where they were digging through shoeboxes, you know, in middle of Pennsylvania, the middle of Pennsylvania, where nobody, you know, in between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, you're driving in there and digging through shoeboxes and financial records for asset data. So I mean, it depends on where you're at, but if you have the type of the higher quality data, which it looks like you do based on your 2018 reports, you know, it's more of a 6 weeks to 2 months, you know, 10 weeks at most on that stuff. I don't know if I'm going to get this question, but John was asking about the weights of the different approaches and how you do kind of the asset versus market versus income approach. it all comes down to data for us. So if you have a lot of good asset data, you know, you have a lot of date and service, condition, you know, useful lives, things like that, you might give that more weight than, say, an income approach when you only have three line items in your expense column. You can't break it down, right? So the quality of data is key for us. And as far as income approach methodology, we also do a discounted cash flow model, but we do it as a going concern basis, which means you guys hold it forever, right? So under the assumption of you guys holding it and operating as is, because that's the only way you can get an accurate measure of what your actual value would be. Now, that would also reflect, say, prudent management, which means putting in capital as recommended by your engineers, raising rates to cover that capital, talking about effects of inflation, different things that you would have with your bargaining and things like that, and population increases and decreases and all that other stuff. So there's weighting on that. And depending on where you are, I guess, again, for market approach, it depends on where you are, right? If you're in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania is a hot market. If you're in Connecticut, you're not a hot market. So it's, you know, the only thing that I could think of is when Eversource bought Aquarian. And then before that is when SJW bought Connecticut Water. None of those are appropriate for you guys. And then, you know, even before that, when Aquarian bought United Water, all of those are massive transactions that may not apply. So it may or may not be appropriate, but that we would give it the weight that it deserves on there.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, that's been pretty easy. And I think all three of you have, you know, submitted, you know, detailed proposals that we could follow along with your approaches. You're all somewhat similar, and you all recognize the three different approaches that can help us in our determination. Now it's going to be up to us to go back and see if we can have an agreement and a recommendation. So what we'll do at this point, as long as there are no more questions, we're going to have to go into executive session, and the only non-member that would be invited into the executive session would be Dennis, who's our staff attorney. So, you know, I would ask all the rest of you, so I don't have to play games with moving people around from room to room, which, you know, we don't do very often. I would ask that you log off, and then we'll go into executive session. So I need to ask the committee members, someone to make a recommendation to go into executive session and to invite Dennis into the executive session. Need a committee member.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'll make the motion to go into executive session and to invite Dennis with us.
Okay, and John, you were second? Okay. Any further discussion? All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? All right, we're going to take about a 5-minute break. I'm going to stop the recording, and then we'll go into executive session. So
thanks for the opportunity, guys. Have a good night.
I thank all of you. We'll get back to you.
Sure. Have a good night, guys. Thank you.
I'm going to stop. Sure. I'm going to stop the recording. Yeah.